Our first reading this morning comes from Acts, the 10th chapter. Peter began to speak to the people. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. The message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did in both Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to those who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The word of the Lord.
Our holy gospel this Easter Sunday comes from the Gospel of Luke in the 24th chapter. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women came to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then the women remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them to be an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. This is not a drill. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Good. This is good news. This is the news that we've been waiting for. The impossible has happened. God has broken the barriers of sin and the grave, and our Lord Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And what seems impossible to the women at the tomb suddenly has become the only thing that matters. Christ is alive. What he has promised while on the road to Jerusalem has come to pass, and now the 11 must know. They all must know the truth. We don't get a strong sense of this urgency in Scripture that these women must have felt. Other Gospels tell of the women hurrying from the tomb, sometimes in fear, sometimes in excitement. But maybe there's a reason there isn't as much urgency in this gospel reading as in some of the others. The women realize that they are probably going to be greeted with skepticism by the 11. Our gospel tells us these words seemed to the disciples an idle tale, and they did not believe them. These excitable women didn't really see an angel. They must have been tricked by some sort of cruel Roman soldier or something. But still, despite their inability to trust the women who shared this good news with them, a glimmer of hope sparks in the heart of Peter. He gets up and he runs to the tomb, and we are told that he is amazed at what has happened. He sees that these women were at least partially telling the truth. The tomb is empty. Suddenly, idle tales seem just a little more possible. Could it be? could it be that Jesus is truly alive? And what does this mean, that the first people to be told this news are not the 11, most of whom fled as Jesus was betrayed by Judas and handed over eventually to Pilate, but instead told to women? Now sure, these women happened to be followers who had traveled for quite some time with the rest of the disciples, but if an angel of the Lord were truly to have come and spoken to them, that angel would surely have realized the barriers facing women would make them among the least reliable of witnesses. Why would they be the first to hear the good news? It seems that our Lord is breaking down the barriers of sin and death, and it's not the only good news that begins on this day. No, there is more good news, because it has become increasingly apparent that the wall between God and creation, the wall between sin and redemption, the wall between any child of God, they are all being torn down this day. Just as our Lord chose not to lord over his disciples with his superiority, instead humbling himself to the point of washing his disciples' feet, so too now the social order that defines the role of men and women among the faithful no longer matters. Now is the time when God truly is beginning something new among the faithful. For this is only the beginning. Our reading from the book of Acts today contains a speech from Peter declaring, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." Paul is responding to the conversion of Gentiles, foreigners, outsiders. So not only has God through Christ destroyed the barriers between death and eternal life, he has also torn down the barriers between women and men through making women the first to evangelize the good news to the disciples. And then God continues by breaking down the barriers between Jew and Gentile. God is doing something new, especially if foreigners are welcome to share in this good news. So if on this day of celebration women report the good news and foreigners then receive the good news, then who can be excluded from hearing this good news? Who is left out of the grace that God has revealed through the fact that, alleluia, Christ is risen?
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
I sensed a small bit of hesitation there, you guys. Come on, you gotta stay with it. I know it's Easter Sunday, I know it's early in the morning, but let's try that one more time, all right? Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
So who can be left out? Who can be left out of this good news? Sisters and brothers in Christ, I tell you this day that this word of grace, this good news, is indeed meant for all people. For Christ is alive again today, and our world can never be the same. We can never be the same. And if we can't be the same, as we trust that the women of the tomb were never the same, then our calling begins to become clear. We are called once again to proclaim this good news. We are called eternally to live into the promise of eternal life found in the empty tomb. For there are no barriers left. There is nothing to separate us from God's love, and there is nothing that can separate us from caring for one another. For all of us are equal in God's eyes. All of us are chosen through Jesus Christ, and the glory that is ours through the promise is ours not to keep, but to share. For as we share the good news, boundaries continue to be shattered. As we live in constant celebration of the promise, suspicion and prejudice cease to matter. For the news of Jesus resurrected from the grave cannot be contained by social custom. The good news of Jesus Christ breaks loose. In the first century Palestine, it breaks loose into our world. It breaks loose into our hearts and into our lives. And as the good news has broken loose in us, we are invited still to be courageous. To be as courageous as those women who left the tomb, knowing that they would probably be ridiculed for the news that they had to share. May we be so bold as to believe that in our proclamation of the risen Lord, at least one glimmer of hope will shine through. For Christ is alive, and God's Holy Spirit is at work in this world, breaking down walls, building bridges, and helping all of us find common ground in the celebration of this one great truth that, alleluia, Christ is risen. I do hope that that is our proclamation this day and every day. Because Christ, in raising from the dead, broke all the rules and all the things they would attempt to tie down the work of God's kingdom are null and void. Christ is alive, and our world and all of us can never be the same. Amen.